You're listening to All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Brian Zumhagen, in for Amy Eddings. Bertram Powers, who led one of the nation's longest and most crippling newspaper strikes, has died. He was 84. Powers was known as a tough negotiator when he served as president of Local 6 of the International Typographical Union from 1961 until his retirement in 1990. He lived in Manhattan for 30 years but died in Washington, D.C., where he had moved 9 weeks ago to be closer to his family as his health deteriorated. Bertram Powers' son, Brian, is on the line now from Washington, where he works as a labor lawyer. Mr. Powers, thank you for joining us.
Sure.
Your father led a 16-week newspaper walkout in 1962 and 1963 that shut down the New York Times, the Daily News, and a number of other dailies. He later described the strike as a severe experience. What do you remember about that time?
Well, first I remember it was both a strike and a lockout. The union struck four papers, and three papers locked out in making common cause with the employers. But it was a traumatic period because the New York newspapers at that time had a dominating presence in the media market in New York and really nationally.
What were the central issues of the strike that had to be hammered out?
Well, the central issues were really two. One was that the publishers had adopted a policy of pattern bargaining in which they would select one union, negotiate a settlement with that one union, and then impose, in effect, that other contract to all the other unions. And they would typically select the weakest union, which at that time was the Newspaper Guild, which had an earlier expiration date. And then basically it was akin to take it or leave it bargaining. And, so the printers were out to break the pattern and to negotiate their own contract. But underlying that as well, the other looming issue was automation. They had automated ticker tape at the time, but computers were on the horizon, and no one knew exactly what that held for the future. But it was clear it could have devastating effects on the employment prospects for printers. So the union wanted to have some control over automation, and wanted to share in the benefits and the rewards following the implementation of automation.
The strike was quite controversial. I understand that your father was criticized by people as powerful as President Kennedy. How did he respond to that criticism?
Well, he met with Harry Van Orsdale, who was the leader of IBW Local 3, a powerful leader in New York City, who was his mentor. And Harry said, the best thing to do is not just get into a debate with the president, but rather to say that the president was misinformed, which is what he did and what he believed. And in fact, a couple of weeks before President Kennedy died, he arranged a meeting scheduled a meeting with my father in conjunction with a trip he had scheduled for New York in which he wanted to iron things out.
I know that other critics blamed the strike and your father for the fact that four of the city's newspapers went out of business over the 5 years following the strike. Do you think that was a fair criticism?
I don't. And the reason is that the city could no longer support seven newspapers, plus the dailies from Long Island. And the market was oversaturated, and there was growing competition from television. And it was clear that there was going to be a winnowing out, and they used the strike the subsequent closures of newspapers. They blamed the unions, but in fact, newspapers throughout the country in cities that were union, cities that were non-union, they had the same type of precipitous decline in the number of newspapers. And in fact, Congress passed the failing Newspaper Preservation Act, which was to exempt newspapers from the antitrust laws in 1966 in order to address the problem of failing newspapers. So it was an industry-wide phenomena. It wasn't limited to New York, and it wasn't caused by the strike.
How did your father feel about how the labor movement was doing in recent years?
Well, he believed that collective bargaining, that in order to have free collective bargaining, you had to have the right to strike. And as he saw, both in his industry, the right to strike, fade, the right to effectively strike, the power to strike, and that it was mirrored with labor in general, that was kind of a reflection of the demise of the strength of labor unions. Instead of collective bargaining, it seemed to morph into collective begging.
Mr. Powers, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Brian Powers is a labor lawyer and the son of Bertram Powers, who died Saturday. Brian Powers spoke to us from his home in Washington, D.C. This is 93.9 and AM 820 WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm Brian Zumhagen.